This is for the nerds, this is for the brainiacs, this is what we deserve. Go ahead and play it back, you ain't gonna touch me, you not gonna do nothing, you are not above me, I bet you wish you was me, I know it, I know.
What is poppin', everybody? And welcome back to another special episode of the Only Friends Podcast. And you know, it's me and my only friends, which includes, but is not limited to, my homie.
He was going to come to me, but he sees I'm not ready. it's coming to you now, Melissa.
All right.
You're his homie.
Poo dog.
I thought it was tortoise.
No.
It was going to Berkey, but he was just fucking
my
diddling
homie.
On.
I'm not diddling.
He's diddling people over there.
Someone started the countdown 5 minutes early.
Guapa's got places to be, man.
It's
going to be a half hour show.
I hope
everyone's
let's
get to it.
Wait, what we got going on today, Guap?
Yeah, what's going on?
Now?
Who knows?
I can't think of anything clever at the
moment. Well, you can just tell the truth. That's very freeing.
I have a big meeting at the Venetian.
Oh. Yeah. What do you got going on down there?
I can't really talk about it, Burke.
Oh, okay.
All right. Making moves.
Okay.
Making money moves.
Making money
moves.
Can you
be a parking attendant now that they're making us pay? He's the guy who validates your parking slip.
Yeah. They're actually going to give me a deal where I can hold up a sign out front. It has to do with poker.
Oh my God. Flipping a sign around.
I think this is actually, first of all, we didn't play it because it's 15 minutes long and we can't, but the sign guy put out a video yesterday.
Oh, really? Did you watch the whole thing?
No, of course not. I scrubbed through it. At the 9 minute mark, he goes, I think that's about all I have left to say. And then there was another 6 minutes afterwards.
Wow.
So it was tough, but it had something or other to do.
That's the best sign.
Chainsaw victim, Alan.
It had something or other to do with me not paying my bets to Chainsaw. I said yesterday in the group chat, I actually think this would be hilarious. I'm spoiling it now because I'm going to say it on air, but I think we should invite Chainsaw to do an episode of the Only Friends Podcast, and then when he shows up, none of us are here. It's just Guapo with a sign that says, I'm sorry, Alan.
He just has to host the whole pod by himself.
That honestly might be one of the most watched Only Friends episodes ever.
Yeah.
Just
true.
Kessler and Guapo chopping it up.
Mm-hmm.
You know what grinds my gears?
We could talk about prices at Goodwill.
He's like, wow, that's a really good deal.
Man, this has legs. I really think we might have to make this happen.
That's a good girl.
It's incredible. She's just slept through the night. We woke up at like 9. I took her for a little run and fed her, and now she's right back on her ass.
God, what
such
a life.
A
what a life. Man, a pup's life, you know, to live like that. We got to get some sports ball out of the way, Melissa. You're going to enjoy this bit.
Oh yeah.
It's mostly memes. So
okay.
You'll like
I actually
that.
Like
I mean, yesterday we
I
talked
I really like sports memes.
Yeah, yesterday we talked about an hour about sports, so.
God, I'm so sorry, audience.
We're only like 45 minutes, and for what it's worth, it was Oh yeah, we talked about the Melissa game, actually brought it up. Funny, she didn't watch yesterday's show. Yep. And then she puts in the chat, she goes, are you allowed to just bet on yourself?
Yeah,
that was the main topic of the discussion.
Oh,
it was. What's your opinion on this? Because I got a lot of heat.
I don't know. I feel like the sports guys should be able to bet
on themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why the fuck not?
Why not?
Exactly.
You caught a lot of heat for that? A
lot of heat.
Yeah, you should catch a lot of heat. Rightfully, goddamn so.
Well, because
Garcia.
No. Just I took the side of I don't see enough downside to people betting on themselves. To make it illegal.
It's already the incentives align, right? Like,
yeah. Well, the main pushback is just the slippery slope argument, which is a fallacy in and of itself. And a lot of people were making the comparison of like, well, if you allow that to happen, then somebody said like, what happens if a manager like loses 20 bets in a row and now he's buried to the mafia and like now all of a sudden who knows what he's going to do?
Well,
it's like,
yeah. He's a degenerate. Yeah, well, that's a problem in and of itself.
Right, yeah.
When it comes down to it, Guapo had the fucking... the sharpest play.
Which was?
Make all managers' salaries 30. You have to put 30% of it on the money line allocated each game.
That's pretty cool.
Not like 30%, but
that's fun for us, the audience. But if you do that, then it just comes down to the EV of your team anyway. because you're just making fixed bets. It's not like you're a sharp bettor. What I think the compromise is you allow people to bet on themselves, but you it has to be public. So they just have to publicize what they bet.
Yeah.
Tomlin would be killing it, man. He's never had a losing season.
You're goddamn right, LaManna. Although I don't know how they fare against the spread. But yeah, if you publicize the bet, then it's not insider info anymore. People could try to like follow their athletes and see who's sharp and who's not. It has a big impact on the market, right?
Is this the same as like people disclosing when they're talking about stocks, saying, hey, I hold X amount of stock?
Very similar. I think this happens in the political realm a lot, like in order to quote unquote avoid insider trading.
Yeah, you always have to disclose your trades.
You're doing a really good job at avoiding that.
Really spectacular. A lot of loopholes. But yeah, people were not happy with my take. And most of the responses weren't like a clear and obvious point where it's like, oh yeah, I didn't think about that. It was like, you're such an idiot.
Alan Barry,
that's the best way to.
Don't you know that if you let people bet, then they're betting? What does that say about them? It's like, relax, clutch your pearls, lady, guy.
You should hope that your guys have money on themselves.
Yeah. Fuck yeah. That's what I'm saying.
You're such an idiot.
See?
Maybe because they could have like insider info of like
it's
like
so great
injuries.
I mean, obviously that's a thing, and that's literally the point that everybody tends to make whenever
you know why? Because it's a good fucking point.
Well, it's not necessary. I'm not saying it's
bad. We don't have to relitigate the entire.
I'm not saying it's a bad point at all. I just don't think it matters. I don't think it matters because it's not a market that's regulated by. Like
well,
any
if they
overseeing
make it public, it's okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Let them bet and make it public.
Right, that's what injury reports are for. So yesterday, I mean, basically, we saw the sickest strikeout of the season from Jarrett Jones, and because of that, it led me down a path of having to show other baseball memes so that we could shoehorn this one in there.
I mean,
this is just filth.
Whoa! Oh my god!
Talk about fooling the batter.
Wow!
He even smiles. He's like, "Well, you got me."
He's thinking the same thing I was thinking.
Wow!
Oh, it's amazing.
Making somebody fall down.
That's
absurd.
Like there are only a few things you can do as a pitcher that are like such a massive flex. Like there's so little that you can do as a pitcher that compares to a home run.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like a guy just drops a fucking 500 foot bomb on you. There is almost nothing you can do as a pitcher
except that
to show them up in a similar way. There's a couple of things that you can do. One that. Where you just like literally take a guy out of his knees and he swings at it. Two is spin a guy into the ground.
Mm-hmm.
So you throw him like a changeup and he's so far out in front that he spins himself into the ground. And the third is
just hit him.
Well,
just bean him.
I don't think drilling him is like really showing anybody up. Yeah, if you kill him, maybe. No, the third is that they're so like off the pitch, like they read the pitch so wrong that they lose their bat. Like getting somebody to swing and actually lose the bat.
Yeah.
Those are like the three things. Snapping someone's bat obviously is like up there too, but not quite as good. But yeah, that was an impressive sit him down. He's looked so fucking good this year.
So I'm telling you, man.
7 strikeouts in every outing so far.
So good.
Only his third walk of the season yesterday.
Yeah.
Just incredible.
And then you got the Yankees who lost to the fucking Athletics yesterday.
You know, it's funny you bring up the Yankees losing to the Athletics. I don't know if you... I think you are aware of this, but Aaron Boone got ejected in the first inning for arguing balls and strikes. And bro got framed. This is incredible. So what we see here is a check swing that didn't go their way. Aaron Boone starts kind of yapping a little bit at the umps. And the umpire... The umpire basically tells him, like, not another fucking word out of you or I'm going to run you.
Oh, my God.
And Aaron Boone goes, okay, no problem. I won't say a word. And he just takes his place back on the dugout, puts his arms on the thing. And the fan behind him goes, you fucking suck. The umpire looks at him and goes, yeah.
Oh, my God.
That's brutal.
Oh, man.
He spends like 5 minutes pleading his case of, like, it wasn't me.
Man. I'm going to start doing that. I'm going to start going to opposing Pirates teams, sit right behind the dugout and just start screaming, trying to get the manager fired.
The best part about it is the umpire says, he's like, I don't care if it wasn't you.
Right. Once he starts arguing, basically saying, like, it wasn't me, it was a fan, blah, blah, the umpire can't back. He can't be like, oh, my bad. You're still in the game. It's okay. At that point, you just have to be like, I don't give a fuck, man.
Has it ever happened where, like, the umpire, like, threw you out and then he's like, ah, no, you know what?
Not that I'm aware of.
I don't ever remember, like, once they go, you're out of here. That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. You're done.
Everything that I know about baseball, they don't really change those calls.
I don't know what that account was. John Boy. John Boy.
He's the one who does like the breakdowns. It's funny.
There's another account. It's called the Ump Show. It's incredible. Just umpires just way out of pocket. It's
like just showing up.
Just always like just being the trying to be the guy.
There was one last week where Angel Hernandez, obviously one of the worst umpires of all time, calls a strike three that was in the other batter's box. It was so far outside to this right-handed hitter. So what they did is they put Kyle Schwarber, they put a hologram of Kyle Schwarber in the left-handed batting box, and they showed where it would have been on him, and it would have hit him in the dick. Speaking of getting hit in the dick, we got one more in the Mets game. A foul ball that turned from, just an innocent little thing to a real nut shot.
Oh, boy.
Yup.
Oh, my God.
You hate to see it.
I'm pretty sure that's old, right?
I don't know.
I think that's old. But
it just happened to pop up on my timeline yesterday.
Yeah. I've seen just... Now, that's...
That's equally as bad as what Jared Jones did.
Yeah, it's just honestly, like, you're swinging at a ball that hit you
in the dick. Yeah, like literally, it's that far off the plate. Oh, come on, get your shit together, McNeil. New York sports, am I right, Conrad?
What are you talking about? Let's go New York, 2-0. We're going to Philly.
Aren't you an Islanders fan?
No.
Aren't you from Long Island? Yeah, I understand. I'm going to go back down this path.
Rangers are 1-0.
Aren't you from Long Island?
Yes.
Okay, they did not win.
I'm a Rangers fan first, and then Islanders fan.
Oh, so he's talking about the Islanders now.
Okay,
and yeah.
Whoever's winning, that's his team.
Right. I'm a Philly fan first.
No, it's always Rangers, Islanders, Yankees, Mets, and then what else? Oh, Knicks.
No,
Nets.
You don't get to say yeah. You're from actual New York.
He's from Philly.
Well, spent time in New York. Yeah. He's from fucking Long Island. That's you have fine. To root
yeah,
for Long
I
Island.
I lived in Manhattan.
Yeah. See?
How about those Knights, though? Go Knights, go.
Go Knights, go.
It was actually a pretty exciting game. Yeah. I haven't really watched much of them this year. But they honestly look like the Penguins.
They're good.
Score a lot of goals. Play bad defense. Give up a lot of goals.
Hey. As your score and you're in the game.
That's they're true. 4-0 against Dallas this year.
Yeah?
Haven't lost against them.
Mm-hmm. So. Speaking of haven't lost to a team, Denver beat the Lakers for the 10th time this season. They're 10-0 against them. The Lakers had a 20-point lead in the third.
That's so sick.
Not enough.
AD played lights out. LeBron played lights out. They had no fucking answer.
Yo, the Knicks, the last minute of the Knicks game was one of the craziest things I've ever seen.
Both of them. The Nuggets game, too.
Yo, there was just like fouls that weren't called on both sides. Like, I mean, for both teams. But
you know why.
What? The refs at the Knicks?
They bet on the refs bet on themselves. They let the refs bet on themselves.
The refs should not be allowed.
Now we're on the same page. Yes, I agree. You know, there are certain people. Oh, you know what? Fine. Fuck Pete Rose. Let's keep him out of Hall of Fame. Managers aren't allowed to bet on each other, but the players, let them fucking bet, man.
Yeah, let
them bet. My guy wants to say, like, you know what?
Put your money where your mouth is, right?
Yeah. When.
Poker players do it all the time.
That's what I said.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. They need to have more insight into the gambling world. I think everybody would just be way more wide open about it. Like, oh, okay.
Other things can happen. Like,
what, the mafia isn't going to come in and take over these leagues?
No, just
don't they already kind of do that?
Yes. like somehow, like some arbitrary set of rules that is governed by law all of a sudden like reduces
allows the mafia in.
Yeah. Like, come on, what are we talking about here?
Oh my God. Hey, yay, yay.
I will say, Conrad, you are a fantastic voice of the people because that incoherence is exactly what I was reading in the comments.
Oh my God. You're out of your mind, man.
I know. I'm out of my mind. So I didn't get to watch the full stream yesterday, but apparently it was on and popping in Texas. Champions, the PokerGo Tour, headed there, as we were talking about last week, and they've been running cash games the last two nights.
These cash games look good, they're so fucking right? good.
Yeah. I mean, yes, and like, they're an incredible opportunity for somebody who's playing up or a stake or two.
Yeah.
Right. If your normal game is like 5, 10, 10, 20,
yeah,
and you can get into this game, it's a huge,
it's
going to
be
huge,
softer than.
Yeah, it's a massive opportunity. You're going to play pretty well. You're not going to get swept up in the action. Though. Right, of course. Of course.
But all the best games are.
But if your normal game is bigger and this game is like playing a stake lower, maybe, it's a really tough environment. Like for Maria, for instance, like this is her normal stake level.
Yeah.
And she, this very first hand against Ash, like she just runs into a spot where like they're only 30 blinds effective.
Uh-huh.
And she just wants to fold 10s pre.
Yeah.
Right. And it's just like, it makes sense because, you know, people aren't three betting appropriately whenever the blinds are 51 to 4.
You don't want to like, it's generally not great action when you're playing against people that like majority are like shot taking.
Exactly. They have to clam up. So the way this hand played out, this first one was they're 15K effective, playing 25, 50, 100, 200, 400. So five blinds this hand. There was an open, I believe, whoopsie. I believe there was an open to 1,000 maybe?
1,400.
Oh, Ash just opened. Okay, okay. I misread this the first time. I thought she 3-bet and Maria 4-bet. Okay, so yeah, that makes sense. So they're 15K effective. Ash opens the 1,400 over 4. Maria 3-bets out of the straddle. And she has position also. So Ash is in the small blind. Maria 3-bets the 4,200.
With
10s, which actually, I think there's...
I think you can call there, no?
I would just jam.
Oh, yeah, you could do that too.
I would only jam.
Like you're 30 effective?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, a little bit more, like, just shy of 40, like 35 effective.
Yeah.
But the problem is there's no real 3-bet non-all-in size that isn't committing.
Yeah.
So, like, she goes 4,200 and Ash jams for 10K more. Like, what are you going to do? Like, you just, what is in that range that folds?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, ace wheel offsuit, I guess.
There's, like, some dead straddle money in there.
Yeah. Yeah. But she's also opening from the tightest spot on the table. So she's opening small blind into three other blinds.
Yeah.
She's in the 25 or the 50. I would jam. Tens are too good. I would call like sevens. But even that, I would consider like shoving some of the time. Anyway, she 3-bets 4,200. Ash jams for 15K. And Maria actually like takes quite a bit of time before calling off, where she's just like, you know, I kind of want to fold. I don't normally take this long. Like, it's a trivial decision. But it makes sense because, like, the next hand probably isn't going to be 200, 400.
Yeah.
You know, they're probably going to go back to playing 50, 100.
Uh-huh.
So it's like you're losing 150 future blinds in a 35 big blind spot, which is no fun. But this ends up being the biggest pot in Ash's career that she holds with Kings, in spite of the fact of there being a little bit of drama on the second run out. Maria ends up drilling a 10 on the second run out, and then Ash finds the River King.
Wow.
To escape the doom, which is always nice.
Mm-hmm.
But all this is for naught. It all gets erased very, very quickly when we see this hand occur, the last hand of the night.
And I know Peter Costa will be joining as well.
Now I really want to see those hands. None of my hands. I just
like
want to see those hands.
Can you make a full screen?
On the last hand,
I want to see.
Jay White's going to be in there.
We're queen, queen, nine.
That's what I mean.
What is he doing? Like, he knows.
Can you guys just tell us?
What is it, seven?
Nobody knows.
No, they know.
Last hand of the night, they still won't tell like what their hands were. So funny.
I don't think he's going to say.
Gagarin's in there.
I said I had nothing.
Ash with the aces.
Come on,
biggest session of her career.
What exactly? What two cards?
So the way this way played out, Ash opened to 700, Jay White called, and Big Earn called, and Jay White just open rips 12K into 2K.
What?
I
don't want to deal
with this. With the old no pair, no draw.
Jay White just
last hand of the night.
I thought this was pre-flop when you were talking about it.
For more than
7,500 more, I guess.
$12,
imagine if Big Earn called too. Ash might fold.
Ash is sitting there with aces.
I mean, what in the world?
Well, I would. She's behind me in this.
Welcome to the biggest game of your life.
Here's the snap
biggest
call.
Win of your life.
So
here we
looks
go.
Like he has about 8% here.
Ugh.
You got aces. 27K in this pot.
How do I know it?
I literally wanted 7 deuce my last hand.
Why is she upset? She knows.
She knows.
Oh, the turn is a 5.
No. Once you say that too, you're sealing your face.
Yep. Yeah. Neither of them exposed their hand yet, so like she has no idea what she's up against. Here we go. Now she knows.
Her face.
Oh, so no. Sick.
The Bears. Oh my gosh.
I feel for her.
I can feel
what her stomach feels like right
yeah.
now.
Yeah.
Oh my god, so sickening.
So much pain. Oh,
so now the second biggest pot of her career goes the other way. Would have been a pretty epic session had she held on here. I think she would have been up like 45K.
Damn.
Give or take.
What did she end up winning?
I think she won 15? Somewhere between 10 and 15.
Yeah.
Depends on if she was in for...
Still a nice session, but man, what could have been?
You know who's to blame for this, right?
The dealer.
No, not the, the dealer.
What do you mean? That's what I always do. I always yell at the dealer when this happens.
It's not the dealer's fault. Telling people to just pay.
No, it's not.
She just folded preflop.
No.
Lock up that win.
You're all wrong. The clear person to blame for this is Jeff Platt.
Yeah.
It's obvious.
Like, if Jeff wasn't calling it, it would have been clean.
Yeah.
Of course.
I think he kind of owes her like
probably 15K. Yeah.
What they cut out there, he actually did a stand up interview with her in between the flop, turn, and river.
Correct. And so, Ash, so biggest session of your life. This is the last hand of your life.
He's got no pair, no draw, and you have aces, so you're probably just going to win 45,000 here. How do you feel? Oh, it was a 5. Oh, there's another 5.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. I'll go back to the booth now.
Hey, that's funny.
Oh, man. Hit the bricks, kid. Still a good session for her, but obviously, like, that's gut-wrenching when you're taking a shot.
Oh, God.
It's just a mess.
Like that, though. You know? Like, it's not just, like, kings versus aces or something. Like, you just... And that sucks.
She handled it pretty well. I have to tell you, like, when I was...
She's professional.
Yeah, she is.
Yeah. When I was in a similar spot against Rob Young and I had him dead to rights, I pleaded with him to run it twice.
Please. Can you give us like a reenactment really quick?
He's like,
Berkey, we're all in. And then you go, what?
So I kind of hit him with the eyes welling emoji. Like the,
you tried to like cue him just, into just,
you like dog eyes.
I'm like, you like playing with me, right? He's like, I like retiring you more. I'm like, please? He goes, I can't win twice. And I'm like, that doesn't sound good for me. He could not win twice either. He was definitely right about that.
He also couldn't lose once.
That's true.
He couldn't lose once at all.
Man. I can only imagine how much that cost me.
Did she ask to run it twice, or did they? Was they discussed it? Or?
I would assume.
Maybe that's clipped together.
Seems right. Like someone who wants to just jam their eight. I mean,
he
wouldn't want
to. So
run it. Someone who does.
That's what I'm saying. Someone who just shoves no pair, no draw in 6x pot doesn't care about running it twice.
That's clipped together, so he does ask if she has aces. So there's a possibility he asked if she had aces, and then said, "No, I can't win twice." Run it once.
No. They didn't. That's not. There's no editing on that clip.
Oh, it wasn't.
No, but I assume that
just the Jeff Platt interview was edited out.
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
Jeff Platt
they cut that part.
Touching
out.
Her head, like patting her head. He's like, there's
the finger
like,
of death.
Yeah. There's like lightning coming out of his hand.
No, I assume that over the course of the 6-hour session, it was pretty clear that guy didn't run it twice. Like, I'm sure he was all in more than once that
like
session.
Yeah.
I would imagine that he already made it very clear that. He's a one-time kind of guy. Yeah. Usually, you know. I mean,
that's true.
There's a handful of guys in my game that are always once.
There was one guy on Twitter that said, like, when people ask to run it twice, I say yes, but only the second board counts.
That's very confusing.
That's
it's just
fun.
Kind of brutal.
Oh, yeah. Man. I don't know. I was going to say, I think that when you're in that position to shot take, it's fine to grovel. I think it's totally fine to like beg for the twice, especially like not to play the sexism card, but like if anyone's going to get the twice there, it's Ash, not me. You yes. know?
You doing the cute eyes doesn't really hit
yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
He's probably like, please stop doing that.
If it's like, I'm trying to get you out of here quicker
he's
now.
He's like, my God, that was terrifying.
Run half a board.
Yeah. He's like, please. He's like, oh my God.
Yeah, I don't know. I think getting it twice there would be nice. But I also understand why when you jam the 8-5 high there, you don't want to.
Yeah.
But games in Texas look pretty fucking good. Kind of regretting.
They look great, huh? Should have gone.
Honestly,
would you have played in that game if you went?
Yeah, but like,
what an idiot.
Dumb.
But like, you know, the game's not that. The game is that good. Your hourly's not that high.
All right, all right.
Well, like the average stack was like $10K. Helmuth had like $4,500 in front of him.
Okay.
You know. Just complaining that he's letting them run him over.
Remember when he bought in really deep? He got like bullied into buying in deep.
And then just got smoked.
And then he was like, I'm not doing this anymore.
That was such a great like 6-week period of live streams where Helmuth was just out flexing, buying him for 300K. Yep. And then he just plays like the worst hand I've ever seen in my entire. He has like black kings on an all red high board in a 4-bet pot. And fucking
there's
fucking
like four
Eric
hearts
Hicks.
On the board.
Yeah, Eric Hicks just Eric Hicks just flops the nut flush with like ace king of hearts, and then the river's a fourth heart, and he jams, and Helmuth's just like
call. Yeah, like he gets saved on the river, but
yeah,
you guys just don't understand. No, that's the problem here. You know, you keep talking about like the worst play you ever seen, but it's white magic, baby. And if you don't respect the white magic, you're just gonna get run over.
You know the funny part about Phil. The funny part about Phil is when he's super shallow, he massively overfolds
right.
because he feels like his stack is unbluffable.
Uh-huh.
And he's not totally wrong.
Yeah, it seems to
you
work.
You know, when people
right?
are jamming for like third pot, they're probably not bluffing all that often. So like making
he
a hero.
He doesn't mind folding to a small bet.
Right.
Like. Mm-hmm.
In the inverse, when he's giga deep. He doesn't know what the fuck
I think
to
he's
do.
He's not used to being that deep, probably. Like,
yeah, well, like he got giga deep, and it's just like, well, when I'm only 30 blinds effective, I know what to do with kings. Like all the money just, we would have been all in so far before this flop came out, you know. So now all of a sudden it's just like,
well, we got to get it in anyway,
right? Like I still have kings. Like let's go for it. I have a 9 high board here. We put in 3 bets on the
like
flop.
Common with people that play a lot of MTT.
Yeah,
they go all in a lot, huh?
Yeah, you kind of have to. You're kind of forced to.
Yeah, but like in cash, like when they move to cash, it's like, whoa. All
right. It's a transition, to say the least.
Yeah.
So easy to say all in. You know? Click that all in button.
It's a bit of a mindset shift.
Yeah.
All right, well, since we're talking about MTTs and all in, let's talk about our boy here.
Our boy.
Let's talk
our
about
boy.
The ride or die. The man
the
is out there
is
doing
cooking.
It.
The young prince is
what,
about
do we
to
have
become
a
king.
Recent update, Conrad?
I'm looking.
Yeah, can we get a CSA?
Yeah, CSA
on young Landon Tice. You have one job.
That's I'm it. One job. One job.
So last we heard, there were 11 left. He had 52 big blinds. He had just busted somebody.
Sounds like a lot. Yep.
Guaranteed somewhere in the neighborhood of 75K, I think.
That's it.
This was a hand he played against Jesse Lonis with 20 remaining, basically on the bubble of the final two tables.
Was this that very dramatic chop?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, very
guaranteed
dramatic chop.
69,000.
Nice.
Right now.
Nice.
Nice.
Nice. Mm-hmm. LaManna doesn't know why I say nice.
I think I
nice.
Know why. I think I know why.
Because it's a lot of money.
You don't give him any credit.
I know. It's unbelievable. I was going to, as soon as you said that, I was going to be like, oh, maybe he'll get second for 420.
Just wait till you're twice the size from the P90X, and he's not going to talk shit at all.
Yeah. Right. Man.
Okay, so with 11 left, guaranteed 69K, final table. That's weird they paid 10th. Is it an 8-handed final table?
Must be.
I wonder if they consolidate at 9 or at 10. These are things that I don't have the answer to, but anyway.
It's only 410.
I actually thought it was 6.
Six is the TV final table.
Okay. So then.
So I think they start. I think they start streaming it at the final table, and then they film the final six. If I'm not mistaken,
they probably go 5 and 5 and then 8-handed.
Yeah, if it's an 8-handed, I don't know if it's 8-handed. I'm just assuming based off the payouts that it's 8-handed.
Looks like it.
Yo, how about fucking Jesse Lonis?
What about him?
He hasn't. He's been playing the Florida main 3500 or 5200, whatever the last one was, too, for 8 days straight. He won the last one, and he's still in this one with 11 left.
There's also another guy left who got fourth in the last one.
Really?
Yeah,
that's sick.
It's Matt Hunt's student.
Wow.
Okay.
Pretty sick.
I can't remember his name. I think it's like Brett. Maybe I saw it earlier in the Twitter sphere, but none of that matters because these guys are all taking a fucking backseat to Landon.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, if everybody wasn't aware already, you fucking woke the beast.
Can't wait to win some of that Jay Smith money.
Oh, it's going to be so sweet. It's going to be so sweet. God, I mean, all these people that were in my DMs leading up, they just have to be fucking shaking right now.
Yeah, just seeing some public support for Landon now that we weren't seeing before.
Yeah,
huh?
I mean, shocker. Yeah. Step 3, crush the WSOP and bury Landon Tice and company.
Mm.
Well, you can't bury us because we're going to be fucking rich before we even get there, buddy. Let me tell you. Kid is just like finally playing. This is the thing that I don't think people understand is that Landon's always been good. He's just never fucking plays.
Mm-hmm.
And this has been the hardest thing in the world to beat into his head. That
if you play, you win money.
Well, more so that like
it's hard concept.
More so that the more you study, the more diminishing returns there are.
Yeah.
Like he thinks that if you
initial bell curve is like huge or learning curve.
Right. Like in his mind, he has to be perfect, and there's this like 1-to-1 correlation of every hour studied equals an hour return in play, and it just doesn't work that way. I was like, buddy, you've been good enough to beat these fields for 2 years.
Yeah,
if you would
win money.
Yeah, if you would take all those hundreds of hours that you're studying and play hundreds of tournaments instead, you'd be fucking rich. But he doesn't want to be rich. He wants to be great.
Yeah,
and it's like that's a good motivator.
Isn't that every tournament player?
There's a good chance he's going to be both.
if only we could open all of their eyes to the fact that there's no such thing as a great tournament player.
Yeah,
I mean there is, but like. You know, with the variants involved, it's we may not see it in the lifetime. You just may not. Well, although
that means that being part of being great is
make your own luck. You know,
as Chewy says, luck is a skill.
Just ask Mercier.
Make your own luck.
We may see Becker just smash that all-time cash total, though. Like he's young.
How many has he got?
Like 230.
230. The leader has what?
Like 580.
And I don't think
the dailies out of.
Yeah, I don't think Miami John's out
Miami
there.
Miami John's like not, 86 not grind, years old.
Not grinding dailies every day.
No. You know how many dailies that means? Do you have any idea the amount of volume this man has had to have put in dailies?
Okay, well, let's say his cash rate is, let's be generous and say it's 25%. Is that generous?
Yeah, it seems about fine.
It's
1,000 bullets in the dailies.
Yeah.
Well, actually, that's 1,000 daily events. He's probably played more bullets on... Well, no, you're right.
No,
if you're talking about 25%, then it's on all bullets.
Yeah.
But yeah. So yeah, it's like 1,000 bullets in the daily.
Okay, that's not that... That's not that unusual.
That's a lot.
I mean...
Well, say he's been playing for, what, 4 years? How old is he?
I think he's like 27, 28, something like that.
I mean...
I think he's been playing for...
Yeah, so that's, you know...
Even if he's been playing for 6 years or 7 years or whatever...
It's only like 100 and some bullets a year.
But like just dailies.
It's not just dailies.
It's not only...
No, of course not, but like...
Does he have 100, 200 dailies caches?
Yeah. Probably.
Yeah, they're all... only caches are dailies.
No, but I mean like, if of the 240, you found out that 200 of them were dailies, that would make a hell of a lot of sense.
Yeah.
But that's
what he said he would do, and he loved it. He said he's like, I just get up every day and go play poker, and just, like, get up if there's a tournament starting at noon or 11, I'm there, I'm playing it. So he'd do that every single day, and just never got tired of it.
I will say though that that's a bit of cope because that's the easy way to do it, right? Like you can play one or two dailies a day in Vegas because there's so many casinos that offer them, yada yada yada. But like, if you truly wanted to play a tournament, let's say every other day on average, you'd travel because there's a series every fucking day across America.
Yeah.
Right. Like you obviously have to work in travel days, but your ROI is significantly higher.
More traveling. Expensive.
Slightly.
The buy-ins are probably bigger and the travel costs, obviously.
Right.
So it's, you know.
But the hourly is higher and the return on investment is higher as well.
Right. Yeah. But you need to have the initial capital to begin with.
Well, he's got D-Negs.
Yeah, that's true. Well,
he's got fucking Uncle Danny back.
He's only had D-Negs for about a year now. Huh?
Longer.
It was before.
I think it was before the World Series. It was whenever he was mashing public dailies last year.
Yeah. It was right around this time.
I think it's been about a year.
Yeah, about a year.
A year sounds about.
Yeah. There was something else I was going to say. Oh, I wonder how accurate that cash list is because in the Poker News article where I discovered that he had this many caches, it said he had 400. And I was like,
what?
What? No way. This kid is in the top 10 all time of caches in like year 5 of his career. And then I looked and they had him listed at 240. So I wonder if there's like,
I mean, there's probably some sort of random dailies that don't get counted.
I just wonder because I feel like 89 seems so low for me.
Yeah.
Even though like I don't play that.
None of those set of kind of aggregate caches counted.
Yeah, they do.
Why does number of caches matter?
It doesn't matter. It's just
that win I have up there is not on there.
The one you had was in Fallsview, right?
Yeah. I think. Wait. It was the
Canadian
Cup.
No,
I think it was on the American side.
Oh, I thought it was the Canadian Cup.
It was the Can-Am.
Ah, yes, the old
Canadian American.
Right.
I was the champion of two countries, motherfucker.
Wow. Look at you.
Wow. Give him two flags.
International tortoise.
My first cash ever is the stupid fucking like 360 that I chopped there for 5K or some shit like that.
But like, I don't know. It's just weird. Like, are all the turning stone stuff's on there from back then?
Oh, yeah.
All that stuff's on there?
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, don't get me wrong. There's like definitely some that aren't.
Yeah.
Like, there's going to be like...
Like, if you play the Bally's 60 or whatever it is, the Horseshoe $60 tournament...
Sure, sure, sure. That stuff's not going to be... But, like, I'm thinking more of it from my perspective where if I had to guess, if I went back and I did some accounting, I would assume I probably played, like, on average 40 MTTs a year,
mm-hmm.
which means that...
It seems high.
No.
Not back then.
Oh.
Yeah, my first 10 years. No, my first 10 years I was traveling a lot.
I thought you meant now.
Well, even now, I mean, I stopped playing a full WSOP schedule like 3 years ago.
Yeah.
So even now,
yeah, you'd get 20 in just the summer.
Right, even over the last 10 years, I've definitely like averaged 20 to 30 just in the summer, and I would still play all the major WPT stops and you know, I basically stopped playing prelims, but I played a lot of main events.
Berkey used to be a tournament player.
Well, I was a jack of all trades.
Yeah.
But anyway, like if I'm around 1,000 events played, maybe even slightly more with re-entries, like maybe 1,200, something like that, I find it difficult that I have that
you're only cashing 8%,
9% of the time, maybe slightly less, I've had that big of a return.
Yeah, no way.
I just imagine there's like a bunch of lost caches in there. Anyway, it doesn't really matter, but it's just we lack so. We lack so much data live. It's so impossible to track what the fuck is going on. This is why I find this debate between Landon and Becker to be so interesting because we don't really have any way to quantify it. And the more I dig into stupid little numbers like this, like who's the all-time cash leader and things along those lines and like what's their ROI likely to be, the more you begin to realize that like the sample, we talk about how small the sample is, but like we don't exaggerate it the way that it needs to be exaggerated. It's so fucking small.
Right. Like it is, but yet we still talk about how we're just like printing money with Landon and you know, like.
Well, those are theoretical dollars.
I know, right?
Landon could fucking lose.
Skolansky bucks?
I mean, with how small the sample is, Landon could just lose his entire fucking career playing perfect.
Yeah.
You know, that's just kind of like the nature of the beast.
Right.
And that's, I guess, what I find to be so fascinating because...
Yeah. But like, whoever wins is going to be, like, you know, doing the victory dance and doing everything, even though, it really doesn't matter because the sample size is so small, it could go either way.
Right, and I imagine this is less true of, like, high rollers because the fields are so small that since we're not tracking ROI, we're only tracking, like, you know, wins or whatever. Mm-hmm. Everybody's going to get their fair share. And I think that's why you see, like, guys like Kerry Katz breaking the top 15 all-time cash record. Like he might be losing ROI wise, but he still has this impressive career on
20
paper.
Million in caches or something.
Yeah, that's why like tracking caches,
it's wild,
you know, it's weird.
Fucking
like,
wild.
Don't do that online.
Don't come down on Kessler's system of
yes there's hierarchy,
who's good and who's bad at poker
system. He's the reason that Jan's won fucking breakout
thanks buddy. This guy was never gonna fucking play a live event in his life. Now all of a sudden he's out here just smashing high rollers. We appreciate you.
Thanks,
good luck
Kessler.
He's a motivator is what he is.
Right,
he really, he did the same thing
honestly
with Jesse, right?
Man, imagine Alan Kessler, the motivational speaker.
Well, now he's shitting on Landon.
Yeah,
so
lighting
you know
a
what
fire
comes,
under
you know
his
what
ass.
Comes next, right?
Yeah, like, 850,000.
It's
our
the,
way.
It's the reverse curse of Kessler.
He's out here canceling out Jeff Platt every step of the way.
If Kessler shits
Someone's
on you, you're going to have a sick year.
God, it's going to be such a fucking good year, babe. Oh, we are so back.
Right.
Oh my God, we're so
back. Sulfur Y is going to be $1 billion company.
Look at this. He hates Sulfur Y. Like,
we're
it's,
so
it's,
fucking
we're back,
baby. We're so fucking back. This is going to be incredible.
Oh, man.
Oh, man. I love these comments. Sid. Fucking Sid, man. I can't wait. I can't wait to get Sid in these 1325 streets. Landon has no speech play / behavioral cap experience, though. He's going to be cat speech jamming play? Ace 5 suited with headphones on and get wrecked. Come speech on, play. Sid. Grow up.
Do people still do that?
Speech play.
Do people still do that?
Like, yeah, Will Kassouf has a big career.
Where is he at now? Isn't he stealing money off his friends on like blackjack tables?
$100 literally got him banned from a casino.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that's it. All the greats are fucking fantastic in speech play. Let's run down that list of people.
Mm-hmm. Chidwick, amazing speech play.
Incredible. I mean, no one will talk you out of pot like Foxit or Jason Kuhn.
Right? He learned it from Garrett.
Garrett actually does talk a fucking lot.
He doesn't talk much.
Every time he gets to the river, he just starts having this internal dialogue. He has it out.
I think when he's in a spot, he does it
a lot.
I mean, Negrano is also obviously known for that too, as well.
Yeah, and that was no longer applicable. Like, he doesn't really do it anymore. No.
He did do it at that 25K feature table, and I think.
Well, he was drunk.
Yeah, I think he was getting under. he just wasn't really getting under anyone's skin. But right. I could.
No, they were. What do you mean?
But I could see how it could.
Of course, but like all they see is the drunk whale. Yeah. They're just like catering to him. Yeah. They're like, "What else you want to do, Uncle Danny? You want to get a round of straddles going? Sure."
The best though is Ren Lin.
Go on.
He's the best table talker of all time.
Lady Gaga.
Okay, but you have to explain this to the audience.
He doesn't have any examples.
Or me.
Well.
Yeah. A la the audience.
Yeah, what are you talking about?
How many people in this room have played with Ren Len?
I don't know who that is.
Okay, one person. So you are the one of one who's experienced Ren Len.
He's just a fun person.
Oh, okay, great.
I mean, I want to play with him. It sounds great.
Yeah, he's fun.
He was the one who was doing Touchdown Tom Brady.
Yeah.
every time that like he would win a pot.
Lady Gaga.
I don't know what that means.
It's a queen.
He did that as well.
It's a queen.
Queen.
It's a okay. Mamacitas, if you will.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. He's a fun one. Man. Conrad's role in the show is like whenever you're like motoring along on your little fucking on your
going.
Fucking dirt bike. Spikes he's just the guy who just like throws thumbtacks all over the road.
Just sticks a stick in your wheel. Like, how's that?
What you got for us now, sidekick?
I use one of Brandon's umbrellas. Just stick it right in the spokes.
Again, they can't see him.
Nope. They're still here though.
They are still here.
Brandon, we have all your umbrellas here.
Oh, man. I'm very excited for Landon. Do we have an update? Have you found one yet?
No, there's 10, 11 players left.
11 players left. That's all I've seen.
I feel like that's probably lacking behind.
But yeah.
Hopefully we get to sweat a real fun tote. Man, I'm more confident in Landon. Like, I can't explain how much. I'm 1,000 times more confident than Landon than if roles were reversed and I was in his shoes. In spite of the fact that I've been in that spot so many times, endgame is so fucking hard. And this kid just slaves over it. It's like, who better? Who better than...
It's just about getting to the endgame.
That's the hardest part. And I think that, like, I think that might be the only area where I don't necessarily agree with the collective commentary of, like, oh, JPEX is sick, blah, blah. But, like, you got to be a bit of a torture.
Yeah.
To kind of like get into the money with large stacks. Like, when you look at the collective guys that you expect to accumulate, guys like Chance, guys like myself, Deeb,
Lonus,
none of us are adhering to strict ICM pre-bubble.
Yeah, you're like flipping for 100 bigs on the bubble. Like.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just like, you know, sometimes you got to do it. And then you hope to just close it out. And the thing that I just never got good at was closing out, where those guys are excellent at it. And I think that that's the one thing Landon really has in his back pocket and what we're counting on.
Coffee all over.
Let's not mush him.
Well, there's no mushing. I mean, there's 10 left or 11 left. Like, whatever. He's going to finish every spot between 1 and 11 some percentage of the time. And
99% of the time, he's going to finish first and then spread out the other through 1%.
Right.
Yeah, that's
get it right.
And yeah, it's just like, I think he's just going to make good decisions. So it's like, whatever the outcome is, it's very unlikely to be based off of a mistake, which is all you can really ask for in these high variance situations.
Yeah. Oh, fuck.
Go on.
Landon just punted. No, I'm joking.
There's the stick in the spokes again.
Someone take that umbrella away from him.
Turn his mic off.
Don't fall for that fishy shit.
Oh, shit.
I got two out of three at Guapo.
I wish you're going to get all the three of us. Like, you were like the most gullible people.
I didn't fully fall for it.
I didn't even flinch.
Yeah, we know you're not.
I didn't even flinch. Because, like, it's the timing. Like, you lack comedic timing so badly. It's just like the second.
He got pipped, though.
I got three out of four.
The second the word mistake came out of my mouth, he just goes, oh, shit. Okay, man.
That is true. Listen,
three out of four is fucking good. I don't know what you're talking about. 75%. I'm fucking up.
Well, yeah, that's the point of the podcast. He should get us all. It's a yes and.
You
know, we're supposed to play along.
Yeah,
the problem is.
Yes and him.
I can't anymore, Melissa. He's throwing so many
improv, guys.
He's throwing so many sticks in my fucking spokes.
He's keeping you on your toes.
My toes are broken. I can't keep going down this road.
I got one toe left.
Christ almighty. We were like dead smack in the middle of a conversation. He goes, CSA, guys. And just totally goes into another conversation.
It's like, this guy got traded.
Can you guys
shit.
Shut up? I'm trying to say something. All right, thank you. Mama Tice is losing her shit.
She's still trying to find the stream.
Is there a follow-up to that?
That's it.
Just yeah.
Do you have an example?
This is the worst fucking bit of all time.
It's actually good. It's a good bit.
Because it's like, he doesn't follow up with anything. He just says something and then it lingers in the air. And
that's
like,
that's
that
his
it?
Thing. He's committing to the bit.
Conrad like heard right? that terrible joke in kindergarten bit. Of like, right. knock, knock.
Yeah.
Anybody?
I think he just.
Who's there?
He just is like,
interrupting
that's
cow.
He's
that's
crop
it,
dusting half a joke.
No!
Oh my god.
Can you stop yelling in my headphones? What the fuck is wrong with you? Yeah.
Like, that's Conrad. He's just like, I'm just going to derail this and never give you any
By
fucking context.
By the way,
context.
Guys, Mama Tice is losing her shit.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Sorry, Mama
that's
Tice.
It.
Calm
that's
down.
It.
Calm down.
Is she there? Is she there?
The
is she
best
watching?
Thing she ever did
She's
was make
there.
Those cookies for you with Landon's towel picture on them.
that was so homoerotic hilarious. If you would have gotten video footage of it.
I know, because you're like eating naked Landon.
Yeah, yeah,
it was
yeah,
fucking
yeah.
Hilarious.
I'm just fucking munching the
There's
goddamn
like,
towel
says, like,
off that kid.
Berkey, and it's like just Landon's shirtless body on a bunch of cookies. So funny.
Oh, man. It was really good. Shout out to Mama Tice.
Those cookies are really good.
Do we think Mama Tice is too nervous to watch in person?
Hmm.
Like, maybe. This is Baby Boy's first major final table if he makes it. Major TV final table. You just sit this one out, or do you go there?
Nah,
like,
she'll be there.
You can't sit it out, right?
Didn't he make a final table in Florida?
Like, she'll be handing out before? Cookies.
Not televised.
Yeah.
What?
Remember when he had queens, but it showed he had, like, queen five? Remember the graphics were wrong?
I do remember that.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was a...
It wasn't. It definitely wasn't, like, a WPT or anything.
It wasn't, like, a big final table.
It might have been
like, a Lucky Hearts or something.
It could have been, like, the Big Four. Was it, yeah. was it like, 10K? The 1500 Big Four, the 10K Big Four?
Maybe. Maybe. Okay. I mean, it wasn't as big
but
as this,
like,
I don't
this
think.
Is, like, a major one.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You
know? This
yeah.
is
almost
WPT.
Almost a million for first.
Right? It's WPT, right?
She said, I can't. In person, I would be in tears or passed out by this point. That was my read.
Yeah,
that was my read. Like,
she knows her limits.
She's the dad in the waiting room. She can't be there fucking pulling the baby out of the vagina, you know?
Yeah.
It's just too much.
Yeah.
There's that line again.
The dad doesn't pull the baby out of the vagina.
He could.
Well, at home births, you pull it out yourself.
Jesus Christ, don't. This isn't happening. Stop trying to make
it
a thing.
It's happening in the tiny house.
It's not. Although, the tiny house is over.
The tiny house is coming, and I think you can afford like a second one for me to give birth in.
No. No. First of all, there's no room for a second tiny house.
It doesn't have to be that big. It just has to fit a kiddie pool.
Yeah,
an inflatable kiddie pool and some candles, and we'll be good.
Burke, then once you see how like you know magical the experience is, you can just start having more and more pregnant women come to give birth in your house. You can start a whole nother business.
Exactly.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
You're gonna be there holding all the babies, and you'll have a wall of photos.
Earth for why?
Oh, yeah, man. Birth for why?
Maybe I'll find a second career.
I think this is a good idea.
OBGYN.
Yeah, you could be like a doula.
Yeah.
I look like I'd make a good doula.
Yeah.
you know, firm but gentle.
You're gonna make it. Stay hard.
Stay hard.
Just, they're like, ah!
In their face, nose to nose. Who's gonna carry the boats? The logs.
The husband's like, whoa, man! Like, what's going on here?
Back off a little bit. All right, get me out of the muck and let's put someone else in it.
All right. All right. Well, speaking of MTTs, we're in the MTT muck again. Got another user submission. This comes from JP Giro. Sure. Sounds like good. That. They're playing 600 deep stack down at Venetian, and the blinds are 200, 400 with the 400 big blind ante. Cutoff, folds to the cutoff. They open to 1,000, and folds to us in the big blind. We have 9-7 of clubs. We decide to call, and we get a flop of 6 of hearts, 5 of diamonds, 3 of clubs. Now we decide to lead. It's a good board to lead, I think. So we lead 800 into 26, and we're met with a raise of 3,000.
Love this.
All right. Well, we're double gutted. We're calling.
We're
so
mix.
We call, and the turn club. Is a deuce of yes. clubs. Ooh, yes. what a card, right? Now, all right, so we turn the club, and
no, leads no, again. No.
We
no.
lead again, half a, pot.
Maybe.
Oh, don't like this.
No.
And maybe. We are met with a call this time.
Okay
so we get to realize our equity, but we make a pair of sevens on the river, so it's a 7 of spades. So there's a one-liner out there, but we just have a pair, and we decide to check. And our opponent bets 6,000, and we decide to shove
for
26,000.
This is a spicy.
And after some pondering, our opponent calls with 2 red 7s.
Wow.
Or a rivered trips.
Plus you have the other 2 7s.
Fucking case cards, man.
So I gotta tell you, this one got a little spicy.
Wow.
This one's gonna break the machine for sure.
I mean, I don't know. I think, you know, the
no, I don't think this is like so out of line.
Yeah, I mean, I think everything's pretty standard.
The lead on the turn?
I would have loved check raising.
Maybe not the lead on the turn, but I don't know. Maybe the lead.
I would love check raising third.
We have more fours, right?
Yeah, no, I get why he led turn. But I would have loved check jamming turn here.
Yeah, but I think you're just going to see a check back so often on the turn.
Yeah, maybe.
I think leading the flop is good. That's like our board.
That's not
right?
bad though, getting a check back on the,
yeah, it's really not
that's
bad.
That's really good getting a check back on turn.
So no, it is, right. You realize all your equity and then you can buff river if you miss.
Yeah, well, I mean
for sure.
Absolutely. I really like checking turn.
Spicy meatball though.
But I don't know.
Okay. I think flop and turn are really good.
Yeah.
I don't like checking turn.
I like checking turn.
Why? How much 4x do you expect?
You mean you said flop and turn are good?
I think it's good.
And you said, oh, you don't like checking turn.
Yeah.
Correct.
Gotcha.
I definitely think that betting leading turn is good, but yeah. I just like checking turn because there's going to be times that we're going to get raised a bet here from the cutoff.
How could we get raised?
We're almost bet, never getting
bet,
raised.
Instead of bet.
Yeah, if we get...
What are we facing checked. A bet from, though? Overpairs, like, almost pure check back.
Yeah.
So like when we face a bet,
it's just a four.
it's like a four, a set, maybe 6-5. Like hands that probably don't ever fold to a jam.
Yeah,
it's maybe just a mistake.
That's a very good point.
I mean, it's not a mistake. Like you would expect like 8-9 to be the bluff. We block that.
Mm-hmm.
You would expect clubs to be the bluff, but like actually clubs probably pretty incentivized to not bet because they can't
check back,
bet
yeah.
call.
Yeah.
Maybe like bad clubs if he ever has like jack 10 of clubs. Something like that. But yeah, I mean, there isn't really a lot that he can bet fold on the turn unless it's like maybe like for protection's sake. So like he might be 40 with like ace six.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the other thing. He's like, you're only going to face 40% pot if he's playing well.
Yeah.
Which means that you're going to face like, I don't know, like 3,800 on the turn.
And then we're going to be at an awkward size.
You can't jam.
Yeah.
Jam screams like no straight.
Yeah, our hero said here, he said, on the turn, I felt like I simply had way more 4X than a cutoff does. And because of that, this would be a very high frequency lead spot because of how much 4X we possess in the big blind that would dunk, flop, and
I guess if they have a lot of checkbacks on turn, then you would want to lead 4X, right?
Yeah, for sure. I think his analysis is really good. He's and I think his hand candidate is also really good. like you would be much more inclined to check 6-7 of clubs, 5-7 of clubs, hands like that that have some showdown value, that can play in a more versatile way. They can check raise, they can check call, et cetera, et cetera. I think like 9-7, 8-7 are probably just really good general leads. And like, you know, if you have ace high clubs, probably less so. Maybe some ace high clubs, like that might be where you pull the pairs from, like ace 5, ace 6. Ace 6 would just be like,
you're basically
bordering on value.
Finding a way to put max pressure on your opponent when you have 9 high.
It's not really about pressure, right? Because the majority of your range is going to be built around like 2 pair plus. Okay. So yeah, that's why he chose the size that he chose. I wouldn't be shocked to see if we can have like a B75 here, but it's just going to be a tighter range. So it'll be hands like 4X.
I kind of like this.
This size is pretty good. It's also the size that like you should expect if you check and face a bet. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like, it's whatever. I wouldn't be shocked if there's a bigger size. I also wouldn't be shocked if it's another block. So I could see it being a two-sizing strat of just like quarter on the turn or 75.
Yeah.
Just depends like how widely you're trying to bet through here. Because like, you know, you might have hands like queen eight of clubs that would fit nicely into a block. But anyway, I think overall his global line is like really good. The river seven is interesting. So we land on river and there's,
this is where it gets real spicy,
pot and a half. I don't think we don't have any room to check jam.
We did it anyways.
Yeah. Jamming on river is a big mistake because we lose and get called by all of his value.
I'm surprised he called though.
I think because he sized poorly.
You're saying the villain?
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised he called the jam.
Yeah, I mean, he does have top set.
Like, yeah, I know. Yeah,
you
I
just
know.
If he ever has any bluffs, you just,
if he's gonna, if like he's gonna bet fold, though. I think his bet folds would be like 7-5, 7-6. Yeah, because yeah.
It's just, I feel like the hands you're trying to get him to fold, he just checks back a lot.
Yeah. Well, no. No, he has bluffs.
He just
has like bluffs.
But you beat bluffs.
Exactly. That's why the jam doesn't really function.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Because his value should just be like calling.
Yeah. He can just call like, because like if he bets the river, like what are you getting him to fold that beats you that bets the river?
Right. I think 9-7 could just call.
Yeah. I feel like I would call after you river the top pair.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or just open jam because the nine's nice. Like having the nine is pretty nice here. We know he doesn't ever have 9-8 of clubs.
Yeah.
So like basically in position should just be devoid of 9-8. Because versus half pot on the turn with the clubs, I don't think like 9-8 of hearts is peeling. So having the 9 of club blocker here is really fucking nice. And we could probably just be all in and put sevens to a pretty tough spot. We don't really put sevens to a tough spot when he bets and we jam.
Right.
He's just getting too good of a price.
Yeah, exactly.
Right now it's like 20 to win 50. So he's getting 3-2. Pretty good spot to call. I would imagine his hand probably mixes, but mostly calls. Maybe I should say that the other way. I imagine his hand mixes between bet and check, and then mostly calls, if not pure calls, once he chooses to bet. But let's take a look at it. So his instinct on flop is very good. He leads quarter here half the time. Is that the size he chose on flop?
I think he went a third.
Okay, yeah. Same. Whatever. Small bet. He bets small on flop here about half the time, and he can do it with pretty much almost everything in range. King deuce, queen deuce are like the only, king deuce, queen deuce offsuit are like the only two pure checks. So he can even simplify here to just having a lead strategy. We can see that in position is going to play a lot of raises and for the big size. So it's going to be a mix between 2/3 and 2E, or sorry, 3E rather. 3E or 2E? 2E, 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 sorry. Which is 105% pot. And you can see that the 2E size is actually the preferred one. It's utilized pretty much with all raises except for exactly pocket fours. So reason is that the cutoff's range is just really wide here. So all of this suited queen X, king X that interacts with the board, he actually has a lot more coverage here than he would if he was opening from an earlier position. Something like low jack or earlier than that even. So he does get to play a lot of raises. He gets to play a lot of protection raises with like queens, jacks, tens, nines, eights. You can see sevens is almost a pure raise here on the flop, mm-hmm. which, you know, actually it is a pure raise. It never calls. So it's mixing between the two sizes. Same with eights, nines, and mostly with tens. So, you know, in theory, like, he won't even have sevens on river. But what we can do is we can lock him to just raise less often, which makes sense. Like, most people are going to just, like, underdo the raise size.
Yeah.
So let's just eliminate the two-thirds size, and let's reduce his overbet size to half. Can I actually even do this? Here, let's just increase the check size, or the call size. Wait.
Yeah, well, I was literally about to say, I literally was just about to say that. I was like, where's his folds?
Oh, because I checked. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah. I was going to say, wait. Yeah.
Okay, so he only has a single size of raise now. Okay. That makes sense. Yeah. Sevens is still a pure raise.
Yeah, it is.
Sevens is still a pure raise, so let's...
I was about to say, I was like, where's his folds? I was like, does he have zero folds on that?
Right. Okay, so let's just reduce his raise size to like half. Man, I don't know if we can even get sevens out. We might be able to reduce it to like sevens. Just always stays.
Look at this.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
That's amazing. That's
you can put it down to 1% and sevens will still raise.
That's so sevens wild. Is look at that. Pure raise. That's crazy.
All in is zero, and it still finds a way to fit
that
all in.
Is crazy. Yep.
Okay, so let's just reduce it to like half of what it's supposed to be, and then I'll lock sevens to call some frequency.
Well, sevens did raise.
Yeah, but
on the flop.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, I missed that. I was inputting the strategy.
Yeah, sevens did raise.
Oh, now I don't like the turn lead.
I was like, what am I missing?
That changes everything.
My God.
Well, I don't.
I was going crazy.
No, the turn lead's still definitely a thing.
It is a thing.
It's definitely still a thing.
It can't not be not liked, like checking here.
Well, I like it less with his specific. Actually, let me think about that. Maybe I'm being reactionary. The turn lead is definitely still a thing. It'd be like, you know, getting flop raised and then top pair pairing. You would still have leads.
Yeah.
Do I like it with his particular hand? Maybe because you shouldn't face many raises. Like let's look and see where the raising range is pulling from and how much of it's coming from like backdoors. So like let's isolate the clubs. Okay. So like there's a lot of club hands. And yeah, they're mostly going to wrap the board. So like 6-5 of clubs, pure raise. 10-8, 10-9, 10-7, 9-7 a little bit.
Like king 5.
Oops, sorry. So yeah, I mean, I guess like most of the raises are just like very intuitive. They're hands that either flop a pair or a draw. And then like obviously sets. Pocket 4, shockingly, not in there at all.
8X is... 8x and 9x are...
yeah the 8x is in there a lot.
I don't think fours wants to see like a 3-bet come in.
I think fours just has like so much showdown value because like you're just using all your other 4x at some frequency, exactly. So you don't need to use that particular hand. Like 6-4 is happy too because it's thin value, same thing with 5-4, but fours is just like too weak,
right?
And then you see a lot of like the offsuit ace stuff as basically our easy bluffs, and then some of the overcards just to give us coverage. Most of these hands are going to raise and then check back the turn. Okay, so like, do I like his lead with his candidate? Can he bet 3-bet jam? Because the only deterrent to leading his particular candidate would that you get raised again and now you have to call 9 high. That would be the biggest problem.
I don't think there's room to just like jam at that point.
If you bet and get raised?
Right.
If he leads quarter, there is. It's the sizing I don't like.
Yeah.
That's what it comes down to. I don't like the sizing. Yeah. It's just a block. I'll die on that.
25% probably.
So what size did he choose to raise flop with?
Like 2/3 maybe. Well, it went 800 into 26, and then he made 3,000. So a little under 2/3.
Okay, and they're playing 400 big blind. Is that right?
400 big blind. Yeah.
Okay, so he went like so flop lead was 2 big blinds.
And then he went like 8 or 7.5.
Yeah. Let me just adjust this. So it was 2 big blind flop lead and then 7.5 raise. Yeah. That's going to be pretty close. Oops, I keep doing this.
Down to nine thing. Players, by the way.
Let's go.
Let's go. Shit. Thank you, Connie, for the update.
Yeah, thank you, Connor.
Okay, so his race size, his race size is a little bit too small, but not that big of a deal. Basically, he just wants to raise Geo, and he's going to make it a little bit smaller, but that's totally fine. Just gets the raise a little bit higher frequency. Okay, so he's going to come through with the raise. We just have a call. That's very clear. Double gutted to the nuts. Never. I don't think we're ever jamming. No. Pure call.
Yep.
And to be clear, like, I just want to go back and make sure his hand leads at a high frequency. Yeah. Like 90% of the time.
Yeah.
Okay, so we follow through with a call. Turn is the deuce of clubs. I think we're going to play leads, and I think it's just going to be quarter pot. It might go Geo, but oh, wow. Wow. Okay, so it just goes pure Geo. And that's going to be a function of eliminating in positions raise.
Yeah.
Mm. Right? So it'll effectively just choose this with hands that when they get jammed on can very happily fold. So like,
I guess that makes sense, though, like, because you're going to pot or check.
Right.
So.
Right. Oh, this isn't Geo sizing. I'm sorry. Your four pot's effective. Yeah, it is geosizing. Yeah,
four is
yeah. Okay, so does his hand lead pure? literally pure.
Oh man, he's nailing it. Look,
he's literally pure.
It, yeah. He's nailing it. Until
sizing's
off.
The river might be we'll
sizing's
see.
Off. 9-8 non-suited is also pure. 9-8 of clubs is very high frequency. So yeah, you just want to have a lot of interference. You can see all of his 4X is leading at a really high frequency with the exception of like 9-4,
yeah,
8-4.
Like if you go the smaller size too, like you probably have to include more of your range that you don't yep. necessarily want mm-hmm. to lead with. So.
Yeah, precisely. And then yeah, you can see like when it comes to high cards, it's leaning pretty heavily on either the candidates that did not have a backdoor, like Ace Jack of Spades, which probably either isn't in their pre or doesn't lead flop or doesn't call the raise if right. it does. So there's like three points of entry where our hero here could probably just fold Ace Jack of Spades in spite of the fact that it's like a pure continue on the flop. So that hand probably isn't there, which means now he can just bet like Ace Jack of Clubs or lead Ace Jack of Clubs at a much higher rate. Same thing with like these other varieties. They're just going to be these offsuit Ace X's. They're all just going to be leading at a small frequency is like cheap bluffs, not cheap bluffs, but expensive bluffs. and then like the 7X is where these are going to be the bet folds. So your A7 off, your King 7 off, the King 7, Queen 7, Jack 7s that aren't clubs, these are all going to be your bet folds. So you're going to lean on the non-club varieties to be your mm-hmm. clear bet folds.
Yeah.
And then I assume that if we get jammed on, the 7X of clubs is just going to call off. Like 9-7 of clubs is probably just going to have to call a jam here, I would imagine. So let's take a quick look. No, it's a pure fold.
Yeah.
It's pure fold. So it's the King 7 of clubs, Queen 7 of clubs that starts calling.
Yeah, I guess your flush is.
Yeah, that's interesting to me, though, because you have clean outs to the 8.
Right.
But I'm assuming that like a lot of where the bluffs are coming from is that like 8X region. And that probably just harms your equity in some sort of capacity.
Yeah, because like he was raising with a lot of the 8X, right? Like on flop.
Yeah. So like you just can't really win at showdown with 9 high when 9-8 jams.
Yeah.
Basically. Which does that happen ever? Oh, he never jams. He just never jams. That's why it's Queen 6 that shoves.
That's it.
A
little bit of
King Queen 6. Jack of Clubs, which you would then block yeah. if you had like Queen 6
yeah, so
of Clubs.
You really
or
do
Queen
get
of
rid
clubs.
Of a lot of those jams raises once you
yeah.
get pot.
Yeah, and honestly, in practice, I imagine if you lead for pot, you only get jammed on by made hands anyway.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So like
that's why you can lead so yeah. much, probably.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
It kind of like cleans up the strategy.
Yeah. Yeah. Like he's just supposed to trap 4X and he probably just doesn't. A lot of that probably just gets it in. You know? Sevens, maybe jams. I don't know. But anyway, very good strat. Too big on the sizing. Let's see what happens whenever we reduce it to half. I imagine
the correct size was what?
It's gonna be like a bunch
full pot.
Of weird.
Full so
pot.
2E.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I imagine you just expand your leading range.
Oh?
Not really.
It like didn't change. Just,
oh, because I didn't eliminate 100. Oh. Sorry. I thought I didn't realize I did that.
Like, how didn't it change?
So you might actually... No, okay. You do increase your leading size. I was going to say maybe you start trapping a little bit more to check jam, but you don't.
Just lead a little more.
Yeah, you just get to lead a little bit more.
Yeah, that makes sense.
A little bit more of this offsuit stuff, the 6X stuff, stuff with showdown value.
That's like what makes it a little bit trickier because it's less clear which ones are leads and which ones aren't, and you have to include
the
more
smaller the size, the more mergy you get.
Yeah, yeah.
And right. So like now you just start taking hands with showdown value like 6X.
Right.
And you're just like,
and it gets, and then it gets really confusing when you get raised on, which is going to happen more with the smaller size. Yep. So then you're like, oh my god, what the hell?
Right. Yeah. 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 So when you get raised now, now you can face like a very tiny click raise. Although it never really happens. Like basically this card is so bad for imposition that he just never gets to aggress. Mm-hmm. And if we had checked instead, we can see that in the frequency. So he, it would be B40 if we checked, as I kind of mentioned. And it's like 60% check back. So, so you're just not really facing.
If he does, if we check and then he bets, like, do we have raises?
I imagine we have jams. Nope. We have clicks, not clicks, but like small raises.
Tiny bit with 9-7. I wonder what's... It must be clubs.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
No, because clubs pure leads.
Oh, you're right. Okay.
So, yeah, the only clubs would be like Jack 7, Queen 7. These would just be raising to get it in. And if you recall, like, these were the candidates where previously, if we got shoved on, we were calling off.
Yeah.
So that makes a lot of sense. You don't really want to have hands that you would have to fold. 8-7 of clubs is in there. I don't... I imagine that they just value this high enough where if we get jammed on, then it has to call.
Yeah, so the lead pot strat is like,
yeah,
really
8-7
does seem
have
to be like
off.
The most easy to execute.
For sure. This gets really complex if you play
it
check raises.
It gets super complex, and it gets super complex when you bet smaller too.
Right, and if we eliminated the normal raise size and just played jam, which all in for 183% pot, like we were kind of mentioning before, is very awkward and probably just won't be utilized because you're just... Your fours are just getting absolutely wrecked. You're not really making as much. Yeah, so it goes all the way down to 15%. And it's mostly the fours with like a redraw or a blocker of sort. I don't know. Yeah, so like ace four, eight fours redrawing to the higher straight. 10 fours clubs solely. Queen four is clubs solely. Right, so it's all about like your 4X with a redraw. You're just trying to free roll him at that point. And then you're using hands that have really high equity, like 9-7 of clubs, which would be a pure check jam at that point. But yeah, so as played, I think it's pretty good. I think it's a principally, it's great that he identified this spot.
Yeah, mm-hmm. The double lead.
Yeah. The sizing.
I think a lot of people would miss that. I would miss it.
Right. The sizing is a little mergy. We can see 7's going to play pure call, of course. River, 7 of spades.
Correct.
Okay. I imagine that we probably just block. Oh, no, we're just going to play check call.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just going to play pure
right,
check that, call.
Yeah, so...
9-7. 9-7
He almost
diamond.
Had it perfect. He just jammed river when he could have just called. After. Yeah. Yeah, because he checked.
So
yeah.
You do... I mean, look, you play 51% all-ins.
Yeah.
On the river. So, like, that was kind of my instinct, is if you're going to bluff with this hand...
You're going to have a lot of checkbacks, right?
Right. Yeah, yeah. Bluff,
you're just jamming.
If you're going to bluff, you should bluff jam.
Which is like 150% pot.
160.
But you're also going to jam your straights.
Correct. So like 9-8 is open jamming. Pocket 9s is a bluff now.
4-3.
9-8 of clubs is the only... So I was kind of right. Like 9-8 of clubs plays pure jam because he never has the 9 of clubs through this line.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no. Sorry. That was back whenever I thought... flop just went bet call.
Oh,
very different.
Very different.
Anyway, neither here nor there. Like you're basically pulling from your straight blockers. Like you want to block 9-8 whenever you're bluffing. So 9-6 bluffs, 8-6 bluffs. You want to block sets, of course. You want to block two pairs. This is blocking 7-6 and sixes, which are going to be big call downs. So like, had we let all in, I imagine sevens is going to be indifferent. Nope, pure call.
Pure
like
call. It's just too strong.
Yeah, turning sevens, seven sixes,
just
pure
too
call.
Strong. You can't. Yeah.
It's the lower sets that become indifferent. Mm-hmm. Sixes and fives become indifferent. Threes is actually a pure fold because you never set over set anybody.
Yeah.
Yeah. But do you play a set that way?
Yeah, he has fives in there as a jam.
Oh, he does.
Fives just because fives just,
no,
leads.
Just a lead.
Okay.
Purple's
just because the cutoff doesn't have enough fours but in like, the range for you but, to just you could. Just,
well, it's that we're jamming 7-6.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which, in theory, I guess would make threes a slightly better call, but we have so much 4X is the problem.
Yeah.
It's like a lot of bluffs.
Oh, this is what it is, too. We're also bluffing a lot of 3X.
Mm-hmm.
A ton of 3X. So when you have threes, you just block all of these bluffs.
Yeah.
Right?
It's like set, you're turning two pairs into bluffs here, I'm guessing? Like 7-5?
7-5, 7-6.
Well, it depends what, what though?
It depends what he's calling with.
I don't know. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Why are we jamming it?
What's his worst call?
Well, yeah, because he's folding sixes and fives.
What's the worst? Okay, what's okay. the worst hands he
so
calls
you're trying
with
to
when
get
we
bad
jam?
Sets
sixes
fold.
And fives. Well, 6-5, a tiny little slipper.
Threes.
No, threes folds.
I know. That's what I'm, when you
oh
block.
Yeah, yeah. Sorry.
A7 calls a little bit. A7 off.
A7 does call.
A7 2-2. Yeah.
Right.
And Ace-4 is like. Oh wait, Ace-4 is straight.
Yeah. All the 4X is going to
be. Yeah, of course.
Yeah. So I think playing like lead eights. Jam.
Yeah, like King's calls a little bit there.
There's like a lot of bluffs here, though. Like in practice, like, what do you think it's actually gonna look like? I don't know. It's like a lot of bluffs. Like, right?
Well, you have a lot of fours.
For the lead jam.
You just have so many fours
that
I've played.
That's true. You have
so,
a lot
yeah.
of fours.
That's the.
More
kind
fours
of issue.
Means more bluffs.
Okay, so yeah, I was kind of right. The sizing is incorrect for imposition, and sevens mostly checks. Sixes and fives actually do all the betting. Reason being is that your opponent rivers a seven a lot.
Do you think that the like four liners get under bluff caught?
Yes.
I feel like they
for
do.
Sure. I think that's why his instinct is to turn a seven into a bluff.
Mm-hmm. Right? Because they think that people are too afraid to bluff because they're afraid the other opponent has this, and then they're like, they must have it. So
especially
I have to fold.
He went for what 40% pot?
Yeah, he went small. It might have been smaller than that.
It was like 6 into 20. Is that right?
Six into sixteen,
I believe. Yeah, third. 6 into 16-6.
Yeah, so about 40% pot.
And then he jammed for 26-6.
Oh, yeah, 40%.
Right, so he goes 40% here. Yeah, I mean, 7 still doesn't get in there anymore and would rather just, like, play the bigger size. It wants to go pot, of course, because if you're going to bet that hand, you need to be greedy. 6s and 5s want to bet a lot, basically because you unblock the 7, which is really important. Your opponent now has top pair, two pairs. These are going to be a lot of the bluff catches. When we do go for this smaller size, you can see that the response here is to mix between jamming and calling. I think we can just eliminate the click. That doesn't make a lot of sense in practice. Mm-hmm. So you're jamming for basically two-thirds pot in return. You can see that 9-7 non-clubs does play all in here at a small frequency. So maybe he had the right idea, I guess. Wow. But these hands just like... 9-7 non-clubs also just like call the rest of the time. They never fold. Where like 9-7 of clubs basically mixes between call and fold. Never jams. Reason being that like you want him to have busted clubs when you're bluffing. That's really important. So blocking 9-8 of clubs here is not strong enough because he should have all of the 9-8 when he chooses to bet the turn.
That makes sense.
And you also have offsuit variety that like just serve you a lot better. So you can see like 7 of clubs, 9 does a lot more of the all-in. Same thing with like 8-7 with the 7 of clubs, but no 8 of clubs. These just like do a great job of blocking board as played. And then, you know, when it comes to sets, like you basically get to be all-in for value, which is kind of crazy in practice. To like check jam a river top set.
Yeah.
And expect to get called
even
by worse.
Fives.
But that means that like if we're jamming these, that means that we have no fold equity versus two pair. Or very little fold equity versus two pair. So like when we go all in here, we should expect 7-6 to just like mostly, if not pure call.
Mm-hmm.
So sevens, as we
but
said,
in practice,
pure call. Right. So
you're sitting there and you get check raised on the river on a one liner and you have two pair, you're like, I mean,
so this is really important. This played out the way we had mapped, right? Sevens is mostly a check back. When it chooses to bet, though, it pure calls, right? Sixes is mostly a bet, but when it gets jammed on, it mostly folds. So that's an easy principle to kind of understand that if you have a low frequency bet with a very strong hand, when you face re-aggression, your hand just always will continue. When you have a very high frequency bet, The reason is because of like the difference between sevens and sixes here is just blocking properties.
Yeah.
Right. So the reason sixes always bets is because it unblocks your calls. When it faces re-aggression, though, it now does like pretty poorly against that range and now is forced to fold.
Yeah.
Or like sevens doesn't really have a lot of good properties as far as unblocking your calls. It actually blocks a lot of your calls, but it also blocks a lot of your bluffs. So it does really well now versus that jam range. And you also have it at a low frequency.
I feel like that principle comes up everywhere too, where like, you know, you'll low frequency three bet 5-4 suited, and then like you're always going
to always have to continue.
Yeah, like when it's a low frequency aggression, like you always continue.
Yep, totally agree with that. So yeah, like no real surprise. I guess like the target here then becomes 6-5 sixes, but I don't know how often those hands get here this way. It's possible because we led called led again. So like those hands might be a little frozen on the turn. We saw that it didn't really play much raise, so that's kind of reasonable. But it's the sizing selection on the river for me that makes me question whether or not these hands are in there.
Yeah.
It's like such a mergey size.
Yeah.
That
it's almost like exactly his.
Yeah, or maybe sixes.
Yeah.
But like I don't think 6-5 wants to bet anymore whenever you're already sizing down with the exact hand that you have.
Like, I just want a lower set to call.
Right. Right. So
maybe
like
two pair.
Yeah, so I could see sevens, I could see sixes. I don't think 6-5 is ever really in there. And then everything else is just gonna be a straight that he like slow played. Whether it's 9-8 or whether it's 4X. Like I don't think nines are ever gonna be in there. I don't even know if nines make it here. They might just fold to the turn lead. They shouldn't. Obviously, we have them in full. Mm-hmm. But like you face half pot on the turn on a one liner, and it's like, what the fuck?
Yeah, you're like, I can't improve.
Right, right. It,
yeah, it's hard.
This hand puts people in the matrix, right? Like, there's a lot of principles to extrapolate from a hand like this.
There is, yeah. It's really interesting.
Particularly like when out of position gets to continually re-aggress.
Yeah,
that's hard.
The double
for,
lead.
Yeah, because like what. What becomes very unintuitive to the imposition player is that they have to defend hands that both cannot improve and could be drawing dead.
And they likely like aren't facing that very often.
Correct.
Or studying.
Or if
it,
they are, so they're facing it in an imbalanced way where it's just always a fucking
four.
It's just
four. Right.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly. So it might just be overfolded.
Exactly. Yeah. General. So overall, I think we can give this man his props.
Yeah.
I think he played it relatively well. The jam on the river is ambitious, but
I get where he's coming from though versus that stinky size, right?
It is a stinky size.
Like, all right, fuck this stinky size.
Yeah, it's a very stinky size. Obviously, if we face pot like we're supposed to.
It's a very like I'm scared of a straight size.
Right.
So you're like, all right, well, let's see how scared you are.
You think we'll see Landon with a double lead today?
I think he could pull off a double lead.
Double lead.
I think if it's available, he'll find it.
Do you guys know that the final table is actually here? In May.
Oh, sick.
Yeah, it's actually the end of May here, the final table.
Oh, my God.
They're playing down the six today.
Wait, so that's so exciting.
Oh, that's amazing.
I'm reading different things here. It sounds like they are going to
film
down there, and then it airs in May. I don't know that it's going to be in Vegas or not. I'm confused. I don't know what's going on.
I was on guard this whole time.
Costumes.
I was like, I thought for sure Conrad was trolling.
I was about
just
to
the way
costumes.
You said it, too. You're like, well, guys, did you know that it's actually here in Vegas?
Like, I have a secret, guys.
I don't think it airs until May.
Well, no,
if it's live
it would
here,
not
we
air
gotta
in
get
May.
Costumes.
Yeah, because
there's no way it would air in May. That's way too
live,
fast.
It's live streamed, right?
It wouldn't be a live stream.
Yeah,
it would be a live stream.
Yeah, it's a live stream.
I
it's not gonna be like pre-recorded. That's weird.
If
might be
that's
both.
The case,
might be
then it's filmed in Vegas.
Yeah,
let's go.
If
I think there's a 60% chance.
My point is, there's no world in which it's filmed in Florida and aired in May.
Yeah.
That is not...
That would make
that's
sense.
For sure not a thing.
Because you would know the result after.
Well, it's not even just that. They just would never turn a stream around that fast.
Yeah.
Like, when they film on site and then put it on TV later, it's like 6 months turnaround
that's
time.
That's true.
So, sounds like it's probably going to be at
Luxor. Well,
it was
last year, right? Because I remember Bin Wang was at like five of them.
Yes. Yeah. They do... They tend to do... group of them in May here. I think it, but I feel like they didn't do Thunder Valley this time.
They didn't. They did Thunder Valley there, pretty sure.
Yeah, it was like Gardens, right. Thunder Valley, and Sherpo last year.
Well, listen, if it's here,
we're gonna need the intel.
And Choctaw, all four of them.
If it's here, I'll be there. I'll be having beers.
Wait, hold on. I'm sorry.
They're screaming for Landon to win.
I don't think they did Thunder Valley last year either there.
Okay,
I
so there must have just been Gardens, Choctaw, and
yes,
Sherpa.
I think it was those three.
Okay.
I'm not crazy about these delayed final tables.
Why not?
It feels like it steals momentum.
Momentum's, no, because they get time to study the stack sizes.
Momentum's not a thing
in poker.
What'd you say?
Momentum's not a thing.
It's not in poker?
Not in math.
So if you're a poker fanboy and you're like really wanting to see this and now you got to wait, you
don't
think
that momentum,
like engagement
for
momentum.
The player though.
No. I'm talking about from the viewer side. If you're,
I don't know, it gives them a month and a half to market it.
That's true.
Hmm.
Especially if they have like big names at the table, like they can market that extra.
And they get a live audience, which is kind of cool. Mm-hmm. Although I will say it's probably, based off of the experiment thus far, underwhelming, if I had to guess.
Mm.
When it comes to like, it's good for WPT though, because what they do is they put these three final tables together over the course of 3 days. And then what they had been doing in the past, I think, I'm not positive about this, they also run like a couple cash games.
Ooh.
So they get all this content over the course of 5 days. And it's not really about what goes out live to them.
Yeah.
It's about what they're able to film and edit over the course of a week span, which is pretty sharp.
I think it's
whenever
good,
it comes. Yeah. When it comes to like them actually selling a TV product.
Yeah.
From the player standpoint, I do think it
sucks.
Definitely.
They know the exact stack size
that's
going to the FT. They know their positioning.
Yeah.
Right?
It's going to be an advantage to the less studied players because they're going to have a chance to catch up ICM.
I disagree.
I think it's an advantage to like Landon.
It's definitely going to be
because Landon's
going to
be running HRC sims. The non-study player is not going to be doing that.
If me and Landon at this final table.
I feel like Landon already knows ICM.
He's
going
to get better.
Be able to study the exact stack sizes.
There's the concept of ICM, and then there's the practice of ICM.
Right.
Right? He understands the concepts perfectly. None of us are algorithms. We can't understand the practice, right?
Mm-hmm.
But now he gets to go home and just run the sims.
Yeah. Like
that's why like everybody's been pushing back about people having others in the stands with computers just running HRC.
Yeah.
Like when Brewer's at the final table with the 250K and Lewis is just like pounding out HRC sims in the fucking stands. Yeah, it's just like, okay, that kind of fucking sucks for people who don't have that tool available to them because it's a lot of fucking information. Yeah. But also,
you can input the exact stack sizes and the payouts.
Right.
And
right.
like, that's huge.
Massive. But that's just like where we are in today's game. Like, we should just start an analytics company.
We should start like a, I don't know, there should be like some sort of team thing. Like where, you know, it's like, because I feel like there's so many little factions in poker with like the friend groups.
Yeah.
And like, have some sort of structure where like it is team and you are allowed to like help each other and there's like, you know, maybe you're in a back room
but
somewhere.
If,
I mean,
what
as
if you have
it's
no
set
friends?
Up right now.
Yeah.
Huh?
What if you have no friends?
We become
then
their
you're
only
not
friends.
In that tournament. Like you're in one of the solo, one of the countless solo
okay,
ones.
I see.
No, so. We start a service. Mm. Only friends
okay,
coaching.
Birthing and coaching.
Birthing and coaching.
We will be your only friends.
We will
to
raise
run
those
HRC sims for
to
you.
Run our sims.
I mean, honestly, it is kind of like having an analytics team in the NFL.
Yeah.
You know, it's like I don't think it's the purest version of this game, but I also see that this is the direction
there's
we're
some
going.
Potential there. I don't know. I feel like it's a natural fit for the way things actually are.
It incentivizes CFPs.
Yeah.
Right? Like if you're an MTT person and you're getting backed anyway, you should probably just get a part of a CFP who's going to come and sweat you live and run HRC sims for you.
Final table coaching is massive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Seems like it would be. All right. Well, fuck. How many are left now?
Nine players.
Nine players? Let's fucking go.
Yeah. So one away from the official FT,
let's go. Mm-hmm. Okay. So they're probably playing 4 and 5 handed, I would imagine. Or no, they probably consolidated 8 or 9 rather, if it's an 8 hand final table. Okay.
Yeah.
So the unofficial final table, Landon's guaranteed 80-ish K.
Sounds about right.
850,000 up top.
Let's go.
We're going to come to you tomorrow with some updates. Hopefully he's going to be down in the final six with a pole position stack. That's what I'm feeling for the boy.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, it's going to be kind of wild. I didn't even think about this. He's going to Vancouver to play Scoop.
Uh-huh.
He's going to have to leave maybe like mid-main event. Like he might have to skip some major events on Scoop to come back and play this final table.
Oh, he'll be okay.
That's okay.
We don't know the dates. May.
I'm not sure.
It just says end of May from when I was reading in
chat. They probably don't even have them set yet. All right. Well, hell, it's a good opportunity. Let's pray for Pray for bro.
Pray for bro.
We'll see you guys tomorrow. Matt Hunt is going to be in with Strat Chat Wednesday. As always, maybe we'll discuss a little bit of the lead up to this final table. Hopefully there's some interesting hands we can pull. Until tomorrow, noon Pacific. We'll see you guys all then.
Later, squad.
Peace.
Peace.